Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur. Don't forget to click on the Daf option to see today's Tosfos marked using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. The second Tosfos on the page will be our first Tosfos for today's shiur. The first Tosfos on the page, Aman de Mahadir, was learned in our previous shiur on Daf Yud Daled. The Gemara at this point, where the term Dilma Rav Yehuda Hi, the Gemara at this point, after having suggested that the source of Cheresh and Truma might be in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara had cited that we saw Rabbi Yossi being concerned with hearing that which you recite from his stance in the context of Kriya Shema, where in Kriya Shema he said you have to hear and it's binding because of the fact that the Torah is it's a Doraisa law, it's a Torah based law. If with regard to Truma we can say you're Yotzei B'di'eved. But all of this, the Gemara thought, was in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. At a certain point in the Gemara, which we learned already, the Gemara came back and said, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the Cheresh, Im Toram Shumasar Truma, is the non-hearing is okay post facto. That's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, who by Kriya Shema says, you're Yotzei even B'di'eved. Now, Tosfos raises the question, V'im tomar v'lo ein nizkar Rabbi Yehuda b'reisha. We don't see Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, in the Reisha. The Reisha of our Mishnah, which indicated non-hearing is okay b'di'eved by Kriya Shema, which, that's fine, but who says that that's Rabbi Yehuda? So how can the Gemara suggest that the non-hearing is okay b'di'eved, and ascribe that to Rabbi Yehuda when we didn't see his name appear in that context? The Gemara answers, V'yesh lomar de pshita. It's obvious that the opening of the Mishnah, which says that lo hishmir liyotza yotza, is Rabbi Yehuda. Midaseifa Rabbi Yehuda reishanami, Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact that in the Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda appears as being the one who's arguing with Rabbi Yossi. In the Reisha, you see someone arguing with Rabbi Yossi. So it's obvious that that too is Rabbi Yehuda. The next Tosfos. The Gemara had mentioned that the term HaKore is a term expressing b'di'evan, a post facto situation. The Gemara had reached a certain point of understanding and suggested that Rabbi Yehuda would actually say that non-hearing by Kriya Shema, you are in fulfillment even lechatchila, even as a first choice. And as far as the word hakore is concerned, which implies you would be yotzei only b'di'eved, no, that's not as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. Hakore, the b'di'eved expression, was taught only for the purpose of Rabbi Yossi, to show us how far Rabbi Yossi goes in saying that you're not Yotzei even post facto if you don't hear. But as far as Rabbi Yehuda himself is concerned, you would be Yotzei even lechatchila. In other words, you'd have a very extreme machlokes. So once again, the point that Tosfos will be focusing on is that which the Gemara said, that the use of the hakore word, which indicated being Yotzei according to the Tanakhama only b'di'eved, doesn't reflect the Tanakhama's opinion whatsoever. It was taught to show us how far Rabbi Yossi goes, even b'di'eved you are not Yotzei. So now, looking at the Tosfos, l'hodiacha k'chei de Rabbi Yossi, to show us how far Rabbi Yossi goes, v'im toimar, you might ask, l'shaminon k'chei de Rabbi Yehuda, why not show us how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in saying that you're Yotzei even lechatchila, the koach de hetera odif. The Mishnah could have used some type of terminology indicating how far Reb Yehuda goes. And there's even good reason for this, because in general, there's a concept throughout the Shas that if you can show leniency, the opportunity to show a point of leniency carries greater weight than showing us an opinion or a point of stringency. So what was the agenda over here of the Mishnah and the Gemara to show us how far Reb Yossi goes, when you could have at the same time showed us how far Reb Yehuda goes in the opposite direction, the direction of leniency? The Yesh Lomar, the Gemara explains, the Tosfos explains, Kevon de Reb Yehuda lo dorish hashmei al yoznecha, since Reb Yehuda does not look at the word shma indicating the need to hear, in kan shum chidush, Reb Yehuda's position of non-hearing as being acceptable is obvious. There's nothing about him that would indicate anything else. Upshita delechatchila shori, and as far as Reb Yehuda, who does not darshin hashmei al oznecha, it's obvious that lechatchila you would be yotzei umehecha teisil osro. From where would you even think to not allow the situation of non-hearing? Ishari dieved hu adin lechatchila. If it's going to be allowed with the eved, it will be allowed as well lechatchila. In other words, there's nothing to suggest otherwise. So therefore, the Gemara, which mentioned Lodiach HaKotel to Reb Yossi, that the use of the word HaKore was chosen by the Mishnah to show us how far Reb Yossi goes, that is of significance, to show us how far he goes, even saying you're not Yotze B'dieved. After all, as Tosis mentioned, Reb Yossi does pay attention, or does darshan shema as hashmea liyoznecha. You are expected to hear. How expected? If you don't, you're not yotzei even b'dieved, even post facto. And that's the chidush of the Mishnah, choosing the word hakore, and that is the point of the Gemara, to show us how far Reb Yossi goes. Lo'odiach hakoche de Reb Yossi. The next Tosfos, E Reb Yossi, the Eved Nami Lo. At this point in the Gemara, we had learned a Tanaic source dealing with Birchas HaMozon, that one should not do it in a fashion that he doesn't hear, but if he didn't hear, he is in fulfillment. So the Gemara had said that the author of this couldn't be Reb Yehuda, nor could it be Reb Yossi. Why not Reb Yossi? Because Reb Yossi's position is that you are not Yotze even b'dieved. We saw Reb Yossi by Kriyat Shema, who said that you are not Yotze if you do not hear. And yet this source by the Birchas HaMozon says im birech yotza. So the Tosfos, e Reb Yossi, the Eved nami lo. If it were Reb Yossi, he would have told you that even b'dieved you're not Yotze. Tosfos raises a question, and this question takes a number of lines, hence you can see we've used a long question marking, and the use of the triangle in the Tosfos with the point up is to indicate a question, and when Tosfos gets to the answer, you can see we flipped over the triangle where he answers. So Tosfos asks, that the source of Birchas HaMozon is Reb Yossi, or Birchas HaMozon Shiny, and Birchas HaMozon is different than Kriya Shema. The Lok Siv Bey, it doesn't say Shema by the Birchas HaMozon. Where it says Shema, so I insist you have to hear. If it doesn't say Shema, as is the case by Birchas HaMozon, you don't have to hear. B'dieved, you don't have to hear. The Bishlama Truma Deliel Umegillah Delekamon. I understand the sources that indicate Truma. We saw that under our triangle number of our diamond number one, and Megillah, which was featured under Roman numeral number two, three lines from the bottom, dealing with the Megillah, the Shehein Midrabonon, that those are rabbinic requirements as opposed to Birchas HaMozon, Yesh Lidamoson Lekriyashma, those being rabbinic. One, the rabbis, when they formulated their laws, they compared it to Kriya Shema Shetiknu. They established Shetzorich Shiyashmil Ozmo kamo b'kriyashma, v'tiknu mamish shelo yotza kamo b'kriyashma. In other words, Rabbi Yossi's opinion by truma and by birchas hamona and by Megillah, one could understand Rabbi Yossi taking a position by those things, by Truma and Megillah, that you are not Yotze even B'di'evet, because they were formulated in the shadow of Kriyashma. By Kriyashma, Rabbi Yossi says you must hear and you're not Yotze even B'di'evet. The rabbinic laws of Truma and Megillah also were formulated being patterned after the Kriyashma all the way. Not only the need to hear, but if you don't, you're not Yotze. Avol b'birchas hamazon shehi medoraisa. Birchas hamazon is on the same Torah level as Kriyashma. It's not something the rabbis formulated. Keva de lo ksiv beishma, and the Torah does not use the word shma by the birchas hamazon. Lomo yesh lanu l'takein shelo yetze im lo hishmi eliozno kivan demina Torah yotza. Why should the rabbanon impose a takona of needing to hear when, after all, the word Shema doesn't appear by Birchas Hamazon in the Torah? So at this point, what is Tosfos asking? Tosfos saying, why does the Gemara have to reject the Birchas Hamazon sources being authored by Rabbi Yossi? In fact, Rabbi Yossi might have his stringency with regard to Shema and Truma and Megillah. They all are in one category. Birchas Hamazon, which is a Torah law and doesn't have the word Shema written by it, Rabbi Yossi could concede that you're Yotze if you don't hear it. So why was the Gemara so sure that the Birchas Hamazon source, which said in Birech Yotze, if he was Birch Belibo, his Yotze cannot be Rabbi Yossi? The Yesh Lomar. Tosfos answers, Kevon shetiknu shetzorch lashmia liozno kamoi b'kriya Shema. Since the rabbis established the need for hearing, and there was there's a rabbinic establishment of the need to hear, like there is by Kriyashma. Ein chalek ben Kriyashma uben Birchas Hamazon. One, at this point, when you see rabbinic intervention with regard to the realm of needing to hear, there is no longer sufficient grounds for making a distinction between Kriyashma and Birchas Hamazon. Da'afil b'di'evet is lon l'meima shelo yotza. That even b'di'evet, by Birchas Hamazon, Rabbi Yossi would be of the opinion that you are not in fulfillment. So the point being conveyed by Tosfos is that once there's rabbinic intervention in the need for hearing, as is witnessed by Truma and Birchas and Megillah, so one can assume that in any case where hearing is expected, it is expected and it's binding. The next Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan, we saw this in the context of a source dealing with a Katan reciting the Megillah and others fulfilling the requirement of learning, of hearing the Megillah through the recitation of the reading of a Katan. Tosfos opens up with a question. You'll notice that it's a long question. We have a long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text, and the use of this house form is the beginning of a question, and the house is flipped over at the point that Tosfos starts his answers. In the source, as we said, Rabbi Yehuda is machshir b'katan. So Tosfos asks, "V'im tomar be'ezav katan mayri? What kind of katan are we talking about? Is Rabbi Yehuda talking about e b'katan shul yigia lechinuch? If you think that he's talking about a katan, he's a minor, and he hasn't even reached chinuch age. He's not; he's a very young child. He's not someone that you can explain things to, and he would understand. Ho amrino beperek ra'u beizdin. It's already been said in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Shekol she'eno mechuyov b'davar eno motzi es harabim. Anyone who is himself not obligated cannot exempt others through his action or reading. Why would Yehuda allow a cotton shelo yigia lechinuch who himself is not obligated? He's not chinuch. He's not of an educatable age, so he's not obligated. He certainly won't be able to exempt others through his reading. And if this source dealing with the cotton in the context of Megillah reading is dealing with a kid who's reached an age of education, my time under Rabbanan de Asri, why would the Rabbanan not allow the cotton who is higia lechinos, the child who's reached educatable age, why would they not allow him, hare kriyas Megillah de Rabbanan, the recitation of Megillah as a mitzvah, as a rabbinic mitzvah, the amrinon cotton shigia lechinuch mid Rabbanan kegodol, that. And it's been said that a cotton who has reached educatable age on a rabbinic level is like an adult, upoter d'rabbanan. So he is able to exempt that which is a... let us read this last line again with greater accuracy. V'aminot cotton shi'igia l'chinuch mid'rabbanan k'godol. So on a rabbinic level, the cotton is like a godol, upoter d'rabbanan. And as such, he can exempt things that are d'rabbanan, like Kriyas Megillah. Kida Omar LaKamon, as the Gemara in this Masecht, in the third Perek, proves or says, it says, Kida Omar LaKamon Perek Misha Meso, which is the third Perek of Brochus, the Koton Motzi Aviv Shelo Ochal Elo Kezayis Dehainu Mida Rabbanan. We know that a Koton can exempt his father in the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. In other words, the Katan would recite Birchas HaMazon, his father, who's an adult, would listen, in the case that the father ate only a kezias and olive quantity of bread, where the requirement of Birchas HaMazon is itself only the Rabbanan. So we see, we have precedent for a Katan who is higiel chinuch, he is treated midrabbanan like a godol, and therefore he can exempt others that have a rabbinic obligation. Rabbinic can exempt rabbinic. So why would the Rabbanan in the case, in the source of Megillah, say that a cotton cannot function? So once again, if the Megillah source is dealing with a cotton shelo higia l'chinuch, we won't understand why Rabbi Yehuda is machshir. If the Megillah source is dealing with a cotton shigia l'chinuch, we wouldn't understand the Rabbanan who say he can't function. The Yesh Loimar. Now, in the answer, in Tosfos' answer, he actually presents two approaches. Hence, we're referring to this as number one. The Yesh Loimar, Shiny Birchas HaMazon. The precedent that you thought was found in the case of Birchas HaMazon to serve as a precedent for Megillah, it's not a good precedent. Birchas HaMazon is different. The case of Birchas HaMazon is different. Shehi Chumra Yisera Yoser Midoraisa. The example of an adult eating a kezias, a olive quantity of bread, and being expected to say Birchas HaMazon, that is an expectation that goes beyond the Torah's expectation. Meaning, the Torah says one shall recite Birchas HaMazon v'yochalta v'savata uveirachta if you achieve a level of satiation, of being sated from your meal. An olive quantity of bread will not satisfy, won't cause a feeling of being sated. Therefore, the fact that Birchas HaMazon is recited over such a small amount of bread, that's something that itself is goes beyond the Torah requirement, and as such, uvekal niftorim mimeno, and it's with great ease that one can be exempted if that's all he ate. Kidamrinon lekamon, as the Gemara indicates later, v'heimichliru al atzmano gezaiso gebeitza. That's simply a quote from that which is taught later in the Masechta, that the Jewish people accepted a stringency upon themselves to say Birchas HaMazon even over such a small quantity, like an olive quantity according to some, or an egg quantity of food according to others. The point being that it's a very, we'll have to call it, for lack of better expression, a very low level expectation. The Torah doesn't expect it. The Jews accepted upon themselves this practice of even on such a small amount to recite Birchas HaMazon. So being that it's such a low level type expectation relative to the Torah, to the Torah level, therefore it's very easy for such a birchas hamazon to be exempted. Hence, the fact that you see a katan exempting a gadol who ate only a kezias, that won't prove the ability of a katan to exempt others in the Megillah reading. Megillah reading being a much a weightier type of rabbinic expectation than the consumption of a kezias of bread. E nami, another distinction between Birchas HaMazon and Megillah, hence that I can't learn one from the other. Also, in the case of Birchas HaMazon, we see that the Kotan is effective. Leko b'Kotan al-Echad d'Rabbanan. The Kotan is only a singular rabbinic obligation. The Mairi sheha-Kotan ochal kidei svia. We're talking about a minor, but quantity-wise of food, he ate a Torah-level amount. In other words, he ate kidei svia, an amount of that one is satisfied from, a full meal, we'll say. He ate a lot of bread. Lekach osi derabonan, umotsi derabonan. Therefore, the katan, which is a singular derabonan, can exempt a gadol who ate a quantity that's rabbinic, the kezias. In other words, the katan, the gadol himself, as a Torah obligation as a gadol, but it's a rabbinic quantity. The katan, on the other hand, as far as the person is concerned, he is rabbinic, but he had eaten a rabbinic quantity. So it's one for one, so to speak. One derabbanan being motzi another derabbanan. So it's balanced, and therefore I can see how the katan ate a shiur deraisa can be motzi a gadol ate a shiur derabbanan. Avol hacha, but with regard to the Megillah, the gabi katan ikotarti derabbanan. The katan's stance is very low. He's a double derabbanan. One, or aleph, the hamegillah derabbanan, the basic mitzvah you're dealing with is rabbinic. Vakotan, and the obligation of a minor is derabbanan. So he's two notches down, so to speak. He can't come and exempt someone who has only one level of rabbinic requirement, namely the gadol, who, by way of a person, he has Torah obligations in other areas. And as far as this particular mitzvah, so it is the rabbanan. But someone who is a katan, who is lacking, he's two strikes against him, so to speak. As a person, he's only obligated in mitzvahs the rabbanan, and the mitzvah in question is rabbinic. He cannot come along and be motzi and exempt someone who is on a higher level, namely a gadol, because he, as a gadol, is a person with regard to other mitzvahs, has Torah obligations. With regard to this specific mitzvah, it's the rabbanan. But that being said, the gadol is on a higher level. Hence, the lower level individual, the katan, cannot be motzi, the gadol, in the context of Megillah. Continuing now to Omid Beis. The Gemara, in struggling to determine authorship, wanted to say that the Megillah source could in fact be completely Rebbe Yehuda. Namely, even though the Seifa featured Rebbe Yehuda, it said Rebbe Yehuda Machshir B'Katan, that did not necessarily preclude Rebbe Yehuda from being the author of the Reisha. And the Gemara had presented this by saying V'dilma kula Rebbe Yehuda hi v'trei gavni katan v'chisurei mechser v'hachi katani. And what the Gemara did is it reread the Megillah source in such a way that you can see how the whole source is, the whole Megillah Mishnah is according to Rebbe Yehuda, and the fact that he appears in the Seifa doesn't stand to counter that. And that was through the Gemara's chisurei mechasra approach, which in general is the Gemara's demonstration that a Tanaic source was left deliberately terse, but if you were to add words of understanding, the source could be read differently or as follows. Now, regarding this approach that the Gemara took, Tosfos raises a question on the top. Dilma Rebbe Yehuda v'chisurei mechasra. Tema. Number one, the Ein Zeh B'Shum Mokoim, you don't find as in any other place in the Shas, the Ka'omar Chisurei Mechasra, where through this approach called Chisurei Mechasra, which is the Gemara's demonstration of a source as being had originally being left deliberately terse, and adding words, L'ukmi Aliba D'cha Tana, and then after doing this chisure mechasra approach, establishing the, we'll call it the re-read source as one Tanaic authority, which is what the Gemara did over here. So Tosfos is like is wondering here, well, why does why did the Gemara do something that has really no precedent? And number two, vioid lukmei k'Rav Yossi. Why not set up the Megillah source like Rav Yossi? Ubalo chisurei mechasra. In other words, the opening of the source that said Hakol k'shem lukos haMegillah chutz mecheri shayte v'katan, with the exception of the cheri shayte, that is Rav Yossi, and not have to get involved with this manipulation, if you will, called chisurei mechasra. Ubalo chisurei mechasra. V'yesh lomar. So the Tosfos explains why, well, what pushed the Gemara to doing what it did. Mishum de lekamon paskinon for Yehuda, because later in the Gemara, the final psak comes out like Rabbi Yehuda. Lekach nicha leukme aliba Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, the unnamed Mishnah in Megillah was something that the Gemara felt ought to be established like Rabbi Yehuda. So, come what may, so to speak, if there's any way we can set up the unnamed Tanaic source, which in general unnamed sources generally speaking carry a great deal of halachic weight to them, and we know that the halacha follows the ruling of Rabbi Yehuda, so it would be nice, so to speak, to set up the Megillah source, the Reisha included, to be like Rabbi Yehuda. In the course of the Gemara, we saw Rav Yosef discuss the issue of non-hearing with in the context of other mitzvos, in contrast to Kriya Shema, where we said by Kriya Shema there was a Tanaic controversy. If one does not hear, what about other mitzvos? So Tosfos points out, or the Dibur Maso Avol B'Shar Mitzvos Yotzot, this was the, in effect, the second Lashon of Rav Yosef, that we saw in the Gemara. V'im Tomar, Ho Li'el Omar D'Shar Mitzvos Yalfino Mi Kriya Shema. But did we not say that other mitzvos are learned from Kriya Shema, Kigon, Truma, u'Megillah, u'Birchas Hamazon? In fact, this was a point that Tosfos himself made at the on the Tosfos that we saw on Omen Aleph in Dibur HaMaschil e Rav Yossi, the second to last Tosfos on Omen Aleph. So, why here is the Gemara making this contrast? Why is Rav Yosef, let's say, he is differing, if you will, from the approach or the sentiment expressed by the Gemara on Omid on the previous sukkah, where we compared other mitzvahs, Truma, Megillah, and Birchas HaMazon, to Kriya Shema, and as we said, that point was accentuated by the Tosfos that we made reference to on Omid Aleph. Tosfos answers very simply, V'yesh lomar de Rav Yosef polig asugya de Liel. Rav Yosef disagrees with the conclusions that the Gemara reached in the previous discussion. So Rav Yosef simply says that other mitzvahs are contrasted with Kriya Shema, and the sugya de Liel, the earlier sugya, said other mitzvahs can be compared to Kriya Shema. The next place is Bein Hadvekim. The Gemara was making the point that one should be careful in his recitation and diction of the Kriya Shema, and to provide or to make sure that one ensures there's a pause or a gap between words, two words, the previous one ending with the same letter as the next word begins. The Tosfos, Bein Hadvekim, Rav Alphys Moisif, Rav Alphys, the Rif, adds to the list of the Gemara. We saw in our Gemara, Rava, five lines from the bottom, give us a list of Dveikim, of literally words stuck together, which really meant words that if you don't meet, you don't leave a pause between them, they can sound like, two words can end up sounding like one. Well, the Rif adds other, more examples. Kagoin, V'chora, Af. The imlo yitain revach, if you don't ensure a pause between those two words, oz nire kamo v'choraf. The end of the hey and the aleph are letters that don't have too much of, don't have a very, they don't have much of a significant or profound sound to them, so that if you don't provide the gap, it will sound like one word, v'choraf. V'chein moisif, the Rif also adds to the list of words that one should make sure he pauses. U'ri'isem oisoi, u'zachartem es, v'asisem es. All these additional three examples should sorech litein revach bein mem shebesof teva. One should be careful to ensure a pause or a gap between the mem at the end of the first of the two words, and la aleph shebetchilas teva shachra, and the aleph which begins the following word. Otherwise, like if the first one, you would end up verisem moso. It would sound like one word and not like two separate words, so one has to be careful there. V'chein tzorch lahatiz zayin shel tizkeru. The word tizkeru should be, the zayin in that word should be emphasized and read like a zayin, with the, we'll call it the z sound to it. Shelo yishma tiz, with a sin, which would be leman tizkeru. Tizkeru means to receive reward. And if that would be a total misrepresentation of what the pasuk is saying, because it would end up saying leman shiat lonu sachar mitzvahs. By reading leman tizkeru, it would sound that you shall keep the mitzvahs in order to receive reward. The ein lonu lasos almanas lekavo pras, and the Mishnah in Ovis tells us that one should not perform mitzvahs with the intention of receiving reward. Reward is forthcoming, but one doesn't do mitzvahs. One should not perform mitzvahs with the intention of getting that reward. So that by not emphasizing the zayin and the word tizkru, which means to remember, to recount, but rather tizkru, you would end up corrupting the word, and hence corrupting the understanding of that posuk. Continuing to the first Tosfos on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, which corresponds to the Gemara at the top that we learned today, the Gemara had featured a drosha that was given by Rabbi Hanina. Why do the words Ohalim appear together with Nichalim? The Gemara cited a pasuk in Bamidbar Chav Dalet, pasuk Vav, Kinecholim Itoyik Ganes Al Nar Talim Nota. Tosfos presents Rashi's pshat, Keolim Lenecholim Lenecholim Pirush Hakonshus Dichtiv Kinecholim Nitoyu Kolim Nota. It's interesting, by the way, that Rashi spelled out where do you see Ka'olam v'necholam. He said Rashi quoted the pasuk that we see in our Gemara text. It seems from the Rashi and also from the Tosfos that we're about to learn that their text didn't have this pasuk quoted in it. In other words, their Gemara seemed to read simply with Rav Chama asking why do the words Aholim appear next to Necholim. Now, if that were your text, and it seems that that was Rashi's text without a pasuk being spelled out, we look in the Tosfos, and I think that it will be clear as well, having in front of you a Gemara without that actually spelled out in the Gemara. So Tosfos reads Pirush HaKuntres Dichtiv Kinecholim Nitoyu Ka'olim Nota. In other words, when the question of why is a holim next to Necholim, where do you find it next to one another? So Rashi tells you in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Chav Dalet Pasuk Vav. In other words, the Gemara didn't tell us where it is next to each other, unlike our Gemara text. Rashi's text, it seems, didn't have this printed in it. So Rashi filled in, where do you find those two words next to each other? So he quotes this pasuk from Bamidbar Chav Dalet, pasuk Vav, which says, Kinechom toy, ganas aleino, ka'olam nota. So Tosfos says, Pirush v'kontris, bichti, kinechom toy, ka'olam nota. And Rashi went on to explain that the word aholim is like the word ohel. Ohel is literally a tent or a structure, and hence it came to mean a base medrash, a building in which Torah is studied. V'li nireh, Tosfos says, da aholim da hai kro, the aholim of the pasuk that the Gemara is referring to, that Rashi, which say the high craw that Rashi brings from Bamidbar Perek Chof Dalet Pasuk Vav, Lav Loshen Oihel, that is not the word Ohalim is not a tent, or it's not a structure. Loshen Besamim, it's a word meaning a type of spice. Aholim, a type of spice, it's the name of a spice. So then, what is Rav Chama's, what's his drosha then based on? Because Rav Chama said that based on the juxtaposition of the word aholim with an aholim, we learn just like a nahal, a body of water, provides purification, so too Torah study, which is studied in an oihel, which is studied in a base medrash, a structure also provides a purification from sin. Well, where do you see Ohalim with Nechalim? As far as Tosafos is concerned, Bamidbar Chof Dalet you don't see that. In Bamidbar Chof Dalet there's a reference to water, Nechalim, but then in that pasuk it talks about spices. It doesn't talk about a building. Ela Nire, Tosafos says, me de Samech. What Rav Chama was referring to was from the proximity of two psukim. Yes, Bamidbar Chof Dalet pasuk Vav, there is that pasuk, but in pasuk Hay, so when he asks, when Rav Chama says, why is Aholim next to Necholim? It's a reference to, in part, that which is in our Gemara, Kinecholim Nitoyu. It is actually necessary to have that Pasuk featured, but it's not just that Pasuk. It's that pasuk together with the understanding of that pasuk hey, where Bilam says ma toivu ohalecha, which is a reference to the actual tense le kinecholim nitoyu, to this pasuk vav. So we should qualify a little bit that which we explained at the outset when we said that maybe the Gemara doesn't have the text of this pasuk in it. We'll say now that the Gemara does have the text, but not to emphasize, as Rashi would emphasize, that Necholim is together with Aholim. And by careful reading of the Rashi, you notice he left out a couple of the words to get this point across. Rashi said, Kinechol Netoyu is next to Aholim. Tosfos is saying, no, it's not the Aholim in this Pasuk, but rather it's the fact that Pasuk Vav, that begins with Necholim, comes on the heels of Pasuk He, which said, Matoivu Aholecha. There is a clear reference to a structure, a tent, and as the Gemara takes it to mean, a base medrash. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.